This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Moali.
Welcome back to another episode of the Sexology podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nazanin Moali. And today we're talking about something a lot of people want to feel more confident about, but don't always know how to talk about: oral sex. For many people, it's not a lack of desire, it's a lack of confidence. Thoughts like, am I doing it right? Do I look awkward? What if I'm not good at it? Can completely pull you out of the moment. So in today's episode, we're getting practical. We're talking about how to get out of your head and into your body, how to pace yourself so it feels connected rather than performative, and how to navigate communication, especially when there is feedback, expectations, or even a little bit of resentment underneath the surface. I'm joined by Sienna Sinclair, an award-winning author and certified sex coach who brings a really empowering, confidence-based approach to sensuality. She shares simple, step-by-step ways to approach oral sex that feels grounded, attuned, and actually enjoyable for both partners. And if this is an area you want to build more confidence in, we created a workshop with three of my wonderful colleagues, Dr. Tara, Nicoletta Heidegger, and August from Girl Boner. And the cost of the workshop, it's literally the cost of a coffee, where we talk through how to get into your body, communicate your desire with your partner in a sexy way, and understand your erotic mind. It's practical, approachable, and designed for real-life couples. You can actually watch it with your partner and have a great time. You can find the link to it in the show notes. All right, let's dive in. Hello there. Welcome back to another episode of the Sexology podcast. I am so excited to welcome Sienna Sinclair to our show. Sienna, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. We're going to talk about blowjobs, oral sex. That's one of those topics that many people have questions about it. There are like hours of masterclass on how to do it. And I see many people in my practice, they feel very self-conscious about it. They have some mental blocks around it, around this. So can you tell us a little bit about like, what do you hear about people's and challenges they have when it comes to oral sex?
I think for women, it's more just women. I mean, for both people, they want to please, you know, their partner. Where for men, I feel like it's more of an ego thing, where a lot of men say like, oh, I know what to do. But I always tell men that I feel like a lot of men, what they did on one partner and what that partner said, maybe they were faking it and they said, oh yeah, that really worked for me. They carry it on to the next partner. And I feel like a lot of people do that when it comes to oral sex. They take what they learned on one person because that person said it was amazing or they had an orgasm. And then they use it on the next person. They keep using it on the next person without ever learning. And that's the experiences that I've had. I had this one guy who we met out and he was talking about how he was so great at oral sex. And I was thinking, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. I've heard this story before. And I wasn't going to go home with him, even though he was gorgeous. It has nothing to do with looks. It has to do with like how we get along. And he said, listen, I'm going to make this bet with you. Because he's thinking like, she's going to love what I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to sleep with this woman, even though she says I'm not. And if I do it, then she'll sleep with me. So I said, okay, what's the bet? He said, if we go home, I'll go down on you. And if it's amazing, then we'll have sex. If it's not, I'll simply walk away. And I said, okay, I'm always up for a challenge. So we go back to my place and he goes down on me. And it wasn't me going, I'm going to say he's bad just to say he's bad. I really wasn't into it. I noticed that he was really into what worked on other people. He wasn't catering to me or what I thought, you know, what I wanted, because we're all different down there, whether it's men or women. And he, when he was done, I simply said to him, no, it wasn't that great. And he got up and he did what he said he was going to do. He said, okay, thank you. And he walked out. But I just thought it was really hilarious. But the thing about oral sex is I do have a video on YouTube that I posted. It ended up getting 10 million views one time.
Oh, wow.
My YouTube channel got taken down because, you know, it was a little too naughty. So I posted it back up and I think it only has 100,000 views now. It never kind of got to that level. But it's all about, because a blowjob is not just our going down on somebody, female or male. It's not just about, you know, going down. I feel like you can turn it into an art. You know, you have your hands. I always say your hands are your best friends when it comes to blowjobs, especially if someone is pushing your head or you have a small mouth or they're a little big, or just kind of even if you're the female and you're leading your partner to where you kind of want to go, you know. So, you know, some people, you could be rubbing their head and when they hit the spot, you could do like a nice little tap or even listening to their moans or something. But I have learned, I've been with a lot of people, men and women. And I would say I've been really shocked at what I've learned. There's this one guy, and this is why I say you don't know anybody and you shouldn't judge anybody. No penises are the same. No vaginas are the same. But this one guy, he had been injured in, I think, football. And he was now in his 30s. And something with his back. So when he got hard, he didn't have a lot of feeling. And he liked it when you bit really hard, almost like a scraping. And to other people, when I tell that story, they're like, oh man, that's gross. I would never do that. But it's like, it's not gross, you know, because he had something wrong with him. And that's what he liked. And that's what he got off on. So everyone's different. I just think it's very important to talk to the person and listen to them.
Absolutely. You know, as you were talking about everyone is different, I was thinking about, like, for men, there are like couple things. Like, don't use teeth, be gentle, and make eye contact. And you immediately said, like, he likes getting by with it.
Yeah. But he wanted me to use teeth. He's the only guy I've ever been with that said use teeth. And it was a scraping thing. And it was kind of like, ew, my your skin's coming. We dated for 4 years. So I didn't have
my God, how sweet.
But it's just, I really think you need to like talk to the person because everyone's different. There's so many techniques out there. You can learn massaging different ways. You should definitely learn about the clit if you're female focused, and that the clit, you know, is a wishbone. You know, it's not just the one little area it goes down. There's the legs, and just licking the side of the vulva can really be a turn on. And then there's also the mound area, which is called the mounds. And that's that little fleshy part, you know, right? Well, I'm like, here's my vagina. But, and then there's toys that you can use. I think my YouTube video is on the hands, but I also have one on toys. I can go to so many. So there's some guys that like their balls pulled. And when you're down there, I mean, you're like, you've got to really get in there. You've got your hands, you're hurting your neck, you know, you're doing all this stuff. So there's things that you can use so that you're not hurting yourself. There's for guys that like their balls pulled. And if you're going like this and then you've got to hold yourself up. I don't know if you can see that.
In a podcast.
there's weights that for guys that like their balls pulled, you can use weights. Mm-hmm. So a little weighted thing that you hang around the balls and it just slightly pulls on their tugs on their balls. And there's also like a little ball tickler. So little things that is kind of like the effect of licking. I mean, I can go on, cool, hot. I even incorporate sleeves, you know, male jack-off sleeves. And the same with women. I mean, there's just so many things that you can use. I think the one thing that I got criticism on when I did that video was people who didn't know, they're like, it's a job. You shouldn't be using your hands, you know. But to me, that's a porno, you know, where the girl is gagging and is like, you know. So there's so many different ways that you can go about, you know, incorporating stuff.
I love that. And I love the variety. I think going back to what you were talking about, some of the issue is we're like, many people have mediocre sex and we're just we're not giving feedback, right? I mean, when a guy is something amazing, I'm a heterosexual woman. And when a guy does something amazing to me, I was like, I thank my previous sisters who trained him all, right? Because people learn through experiences and feedback. And yes. I feel like we're just so, especially in heterosexual relationship, women are just so polite with giving feedback. And like, you know, and then sometimes, as you said, we're faking it. And in a way, we're training our partner to do something that's not effective. And as you mentioned, there's a galaxy of options. So before saying that, for like I'm going to talk about for a minute for exactly what you talk about, women, right? Sometimes cisgender women, they have insecurities about, am I doing it right enough? Am I good at it? All of that anxiety around being able to do it right. What do you recommend women to feel kind of like to do to feel more confident when it comes to doing oral sex, giving a head to a new guy?
Well, for me, because I'm going to go by my experience, when I was, you know, a teenager, I got very lucky and met a guy who, you know, we didn't have the internet back then, but I guess we had Men's Magazine. And he, I think I was like 16 or 17, and he came up with these, but also I was open to it. And that's the other thing, is being open to it and putting things aside. But we were using ice cubes. He was wanting to try all these different things. And then as I got older, I just remembered that. I also never really liked giving a blowjob, but it was because I didn't know. And that's a lot of things. Like, men definitely want to go down on women, but they also want to know how to do it. Where I've noticed that women don't really want to go down on men because they don't enjoy doing it. And I always tell them, once you enjoy doing it, you'll want to go down more. Yeah. So it's just learning. I just say, get out there. There's tons of sex coaching classes online. There's podcasts. There's the internet. Definitely don't watch porn unless, you know, there's a lot of educational videos out there on fellatio, or even just going down, if you're a woman, going down on another woman. There's all kinds of things out there.
For men that, you know, as you said, like I often hear men, I barely hear them questioning. I had maybe one client that they were questioning their skill when it comes to oral sex. Majority of men, they said, we got it.
No, that's what I think. I think when it's an ego thing, they don't want to talk about it. I don't think men are like women where we talk about stuff, where men are just like, yeah, high five, I banged this girl, I got her to come. It's like, but did you? As soon as you ask a guy that, like, did she come though? Was she really into it? You start seeing their mind working, like, well, maybe she's right. Maybe she wasn't into it. And that's how I feel the guy at my house, when I kind of challenged him, I think he probably rethought, you know, like, oh, wow. You know, hopefully he went and learned some skills.
Well, like, it could be a humbling experience, right? Kind of feeling that, like,
whatever you do, don't take what you learned from one person and take it into the next relationship and think this is what they're going to like. Yes, you can learn something great and some techniques and try it on the person, but it doesn't mean that they're into it. You know, like some people, I mean, I don't know, but I'm just going by what I've seen, that the hammering of the finger in, you know, I've never
hated it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people do, but that's what people see on porn.
Absolutely. I mean, like, where else people can learn about sex? Majority of people learn about it from watching porn. Like, thankfully now we have resources, different sex coaches, but majority of people, the reference they have when it comes to sex is mainstream porn and what they see in porn, which, you know, oftentimes is just like watching a romantic
movie. Not even porn, movies. How many times do you see a movie where, you know, it's hot sex, he throws a girl up against the wall and they have sex on the wall? No, girl, I'm sorry, I'm not having sex up against the wall. And then, like, she orgasms within seconds. So I think it's the porn and then the movies, you know, why isn't the girl coming quicker? And then the girl is thinking, I can tell he's getting irritated or he's down there too long, so I need to speed things up and act like I'm coming.
Absolutely. And again, just like so common, unfortunately, or kind of like, again, we all heard about, or many people experience faking orgasms, which, again, I understand in context of some relationships, it even feel pressured, but it's not supportive of you having the sex that you deserve. Speaking of mental blocks, so when it comes to women who don't enjoy having kind of like receiving oral sex. I hear many women, they're self-conscious about their scent, their body shape, all of that. How do you hear women get over that?
Well, I mean, one, it comes down to you can't depend on a guy or a person to make you feel sexy. You have to feel sexy yourself first. So you really need to ask why. If you do have a scent, go see a doctor. But you should never douche or put anything down there. When we do have natural scents, we have our scents changed throughout the weeks, throughout the days. So, you know, learning about, you know, your cycles and stuff. And then there's also just being clean, but don't use douches at all, because that actually changes it and makes it worse. You know, you just need some water and some soap. But it, like I said, go see a doctor, or maybe go talk to someone. Sometimes if it's in the head, you're a doctor, you know that sometimes it's just in the head and they might need some help. But honestly, guys, one thing I've learned about guys being in the adult business, men, is that we as women think so much, like when we're in the bedroom, oh my gosh, he can see this one side or this scar. When a guy sees you naked, like, he just loses everything. And he doesn't see your imperfections. He doesn't see what you see. He's just so happy that you're there in the room with him. And also being in the adult business, I learned that it's not the women that you see in the magazine, the tall, beautiful supermodels. Yes, those women are beautiful, but that's what sell fashion. And that's for what gay guys, you know, promote, like, you know, the hairdressers and gay designers. But when it comes to what real people like, I mean, I was seeing guys, you know, into girls that were overweight or, you know, just weren't what you thought your typical beauty was. But those are real people. And women just need to get that out of their head.
And I wonder, part of the anxiety that women have is more from kind of watching or kind of scenes that they've seen and going back to porn. The reason I'm saying that is, I grew up in Iran and like on like older time. So not internet time. So I haven't seen another woman vulva front and center. So I didn't even have this insecurity when I had sex. I was like, okay, I guess like all the body parts are like this.
I was the same way, and it's embarrassing, but I didn't know. One time, I mean, I'd never seen another vagina but myself. And honestly, I'd never seen my vagina, you know? It wasn't until I started taking sex coaching classes that we were to look at our vaginas. And you're like, oh, I didn't realize I had this birthmark, you know, down there. But there was this one woman when I was stripping in DC in my young 20s or 25. And I thought I was doing her a favor. She was getting ready to go outside to dance on the pole. And, you know, she was adjusting her underwear. And I was like, oh, your tampon string is hanging out.
Oh, no.
She goes, oh, sweetie. That, because she was older than me. She was like, that's my clit or something. I was, oh, my gosh. It wasn't like, I was so embarrassed at that moment because I didn't know. And I was like, oh, mine doesn't hang like that. Do other people's hang, you know? And then there's this amazing book. When I was taking my sex coaching classes, I can't remember what it's called, but it's a book of all these vaginas at all these different ages, but it doesn't tell you which age. You know, a 60-year-old woman's vagina can look like, you know, a 30-year-old woman's vagina. You know, it's just, and there's beauty in all of them. And they're like a fingerprint. It's a work of art, you know?
I like it. And now, like, and through people can see through vulva gallery, all of that, right? That like bodies are different. As an adult getting exposed to it, now I understand there's diversity. But back then, I didn't even have the understanding of like my body is different than others. Therefore, I didn't have that insecurity. So I think part of it's also getting younger, being exposed to the messaging.
Yeah, I didn't even know about nipples and different sizes. You know, I was like, oh, people have bigger or, you know, different. I didn't
even
know.
Colors. I had no idea. I was like, oh, I guess like it's like hands. Everyone's hands is kind of similar.
I didn't even know there was such thing as a bent penis. And I met one. I had never seen, you know, a guy who was circumcised. You know, my first one, I was like, oh my gosh.
So right. And I think that's some part of it is beauty of having sex with someone. That's almost an unboxing of something new and exciting. I love that. So when people kind of like want to think about like step by step, because sometimes people are anxious, they have some kind of like fear about, oh, am I doing it wrong? Maybe if they have a roadmap, it's easier. What would be like overall three steps that you kind of talk about when you're thinking about giving head, or the three steps you would say like for eating pussy?
Three steps as in like, this is what you do, this is what you
kind
do.
Of like a general roadmap, like because we talked about, people's bodies are different, foreplay can feel different, but if people kind of think about, okay, this is a roadmap, what would you say kind of like would be a roadmap?
If I was, you know, going down on a guy for the first time, I always like look to make sure they're clean, nothing's going on down there. And then I like to see what the guy likes, because not every guy likes his balls tickled or licked or played with. There's so much more than just the head and the shaft. You can get someone off just by licking their head. And there's some people that want deep throat. You know, there's so much. So I kind of just take what I know and I look at it like a playground and I just go to town. And trust me, when a guy is really into it, you never, just like a woman, just like when you think about when you're about to come, you never want to break focus. Mm-hmm. So I can tell when a guy is like, okay, this is nice, but he's not there yet. And I can tell when I hit his trigger points, because you just feel the body change and he kind of like, you know, just the same with us, you know?
So I was kind of like paying attention to body language and being creative.
Yeah. Yeah. And I tried the communication thing. One time this guy got upset with me and like left.
Oh no.
Sometimes people, knowing that I'm a sex coach, they get a little fearful. This one guy, before I talk about this one guy, he literally ran out of my house. It was a 4-story condo, and I sat at the top of my stairs and I said, it's on the entry door is on the second floor. You got to come back up. So he went out, and then I texted him and I said, what the heck happened? And he said, I got so nervous because of who you are. And, you know, I know that you're a sex coach and I freaked out. I thought you were going to like want me swinging on chandeliers or something. And I was like, no, oh my gosh. Like, you know, just like communicate with a person. So the other guy, the same thing happened, but not in that sense. I was going down on him and doing the same thing, kind of filling out. And I just asked him like, hey, do you like this? I was trying to add in a little communication. I was trying something different. And he got kind of irritated and he was kind of like, well, just suck it. Like, I don't need a commentary, you know?
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I don't think this is going very well. So you kind of feel it out, you know? And then I was like, should I not speak up next time? You know?
I mean, like, I wouldn't want to have sex with someone that they can't tolerate conversation during sex.
Yeah, we didn't. We He didn't run out like the other guy, but he left. But it was like, because there's also making someone feel bad, you know, like even though I'm an expert and I'm the sex coach and I'm the one that's knowledgeable, he still made me feel bad about just communicating. And that's one thing I always teach people is communicate. So imagine if I'm teaching you to communicate with your partner, I'm telling you to do this and you go and do that. And then the person makes you feel bad, you know, like I didn't really take it personal, but it still made you go like, wow, that wasn't very nice, you know?
Right. It's really important to be able to even give neutral feedback, right? Like sometimes shame shows up around sex for people and kind of like naming it or kind of like redirecting your partner can be a way to go. And then you want to make sure there's repair that happens outside the bedroom. But when it's something that's just really not working for people, right? Like, for example, as you said, our bodies are different. Maybe we have an infection and there is a scent kind of like in your body and you want to give feedback. You're in your period. Something is happening. I mean, like, I'm not going to say like I would say majority of time women are fantastic. Their scent is fantastic. But what if there's an issue or there's something going on with the partner's penis? I want to give feedback. How would you suggest people to approach giving feedback so the partner wouldn't feel diminished or small?
That's a very tough one because I'll give two examples. One, when someone has a piece of lettuce in the tooth, nobody will even tell you that you have a piece of lettuce in your tooth. And then I have no problem if I know the person, not if I just met you, telling someone that they have bad breath. That's just me, because I feel like I'm helping you. But a lot of people can't tell people that. So you take two simple things that are not sexual, something as simple as like, I had lettuce in my tooth. Why didn't you tell me? Oh, I didn't see it. Yeah, you did. You saw it. And then you're asking them to apply it to something so personal in the bedroom. It's a very tough one, because that's where a lot of people feel shame around stuff. And I mean, even I've had some things where there was one time, again, this is, you have to understand, you go by age also, you know, like, is the person 20? Is the person 40? Because you hope by the time you're 40, you know yourself a little bit better, but that's not always the case. But when I was in my early 20s, I kept having the smell, and I was definitely sleeping with guys and no one was telling me, but I had the smell, and I went to her, and I remember she was like, oh, you stinky down there. And I remember it made me so embarrassed, but I also thought it was funny because, you know, whatever, but I was like, okay, that's cool. But it was something as simple as the VB, you call it.
The bacteria.
Yeah. Which is very common to a yeast infection, but sometimes it's misdiagnosed. Mm-hmm. So I never knew. And once I got a fix, people don't say stuff. Mm-hmm. So a hint I picked up on this one guy was he was very clean, and he would always suggest taking a shower. So I started doing that. I feel like but if it's a bacteria, you know, you can't say anything, but I always suggest taking a shower, especially if you've been out and you've been sweating and dancing or whatever, like, hey, and make it sexy. Not like, let's take a shower because you smell, like, hey, let's, you know, go into the shower and, you know, just have some fun or bath or whatever it is that you want. It's a tough one, because if it's just someone you're dating, most people would be like, oh, she stank, you know, and then they leave her. And like I said, it goes back to the spinach in your teeth. But if it's someone that you've been a partner with for a while, I think it's more approaching them. Because I always say this when people say, well, how do I approach a partner about swinging or having more than one partners? What I'll say, so that they don't think it's you, say, I saw it on Instagram, I saw it in a magazine, you know, make it look like it was someone else's idea, so that if the person gets upset or rejects it, then it wasn't you.
I love that. Like, yes, you said, like,
makes people feel more comfortable.
Absolutely. There are different ways you can approach it. I agree with you. I think it's just, unless you are into kind of spontaneous sex outside, I think it's often a good practice to kind of like shower, like wash your teeth. You have no idea how many cisgender men are losing opportunity to have sex. I hear from their partners in my practice because they have bad smell. Like, if they knew that somehow it's the smell that gets in the way of them having morning sex, God knows that would be the first thing they would do. So sometimes it fits
in the shower and have fun with it. Like, you know, rub the guy's balls with some soap, you know, clean it better. And then make a comment like, oh, I love it when it's fresh and clean or something, you know, but try not to make the person feel bad. But also, it's really hard because you could say something to the other person and this is on them, and they could get very offended, even if you said it polite, you know, just like by me asking that guy, you know, communicating with him, he got upset, you know, and left. You just never know, because it could be so embarrassing to them. And then they're like, oh my gosh, you know, and then you never hear from them again. It's a tough one. I think that one's a tricky subject.
Absolutely. And from some people, when shame shows up, they attack others, right? They're going to attack you and say mean things to you. Or sometimes people attack themselves, like they shrink and they inside you see that they kind of are devastated. But I would say that, as you said, first of all, people get to have their emotions. If you're communicating it with thoughtfulness and kindness, you're not responsible for people's emotions. I know that sounds harsh, but that's important to keep in mind.
This is about how you would want to be approached. Like, if the tables were turned, how would I want someone to approach me about this, you know, and put yourself in, you know, in their shoes and come at it, yeah, in a kind way.
And also, again, it could be like, I would say, like, for majority of time, of course, you don't want to, when you're going down on someone and, you know, there's a scent there, there's nothing they can do in the moment. So I would say, like, pivot. And that's not the time to give a kind of feedback right then. But sometimes, like outside the bedroom, you can kind of like communicate that, right? Like, I love going down on you. I love giving you pleasure. And this is what I've noticed. So I just want to share that with you. I mean, the person can get hurt, but also, as you said, it can be helpful for them because it could be health related things that they can do. But it's important to not talk about it in the midst of sex.
Yeah, definitely not in the midst of sex. I've never had an issue where anyone that's happened, but I have had the stinky breath. That one I know very well. And again, you have to approach it, I think, the same way. Very kind, because someone's feelings can get hurt.
Could be like we always have gum like next door, but right, it would be something you do mint. Gum, but if, right,
no, there's like breath that smells because you just ate something or you went out drinking and got like.
That's true.
But there's, my mom was a dentist, so I'm very particular about people in brushing and flossing. And then there's the, I can tell you haven't flossed for cleanliness. I was just thinking about this. Everyone always comments on this for me, but a bidet.
I love bidet for pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. I have one in my house, and I host naughty parties in my house, and people love it because that really gets you clean. Mm-hmm. Your bum hole, get your taint a little bit. It reaches up to the front. So you could even, you know, lift up your balls and get, you know, really get in there.
I love that. And again, like many people, they don't know their missed opportunity for having more frequent sex if they can upgrade their hygiene. And I know it's such a sensitive thing because most people think like, oh, I have good hygiene. But some people even have a specific requirement, even in the marriage. I have people in my practice telling me, I feel my husband is not using the right body wash for their body, right? So kind of like having, kind of thinking about it as kind of the solution focus. Like, this is something we're addressing versus kind of thinking about I am doing something wrong, because people have different needs when it comes to intimacy and hygiene around intimacy. So for people who are kind of thinking about like, you know, improving their sexual skill when it comes to oral sex, what is one small thing or medium-sized thing that they can do to upgrade their sexual skill when it comes to oral sex? Do you have any hacks for us?
Yes, I would. I mean, it goes back to the beginning. I would definitely say that exploring, your hands are your best friend. You know, it's just go down there and explore. You know, sometimes, I mean, I've done so many things where you play with hot and cold, you know, you do a little massage. It's not, people are so orgasm focused, you know, like, let me get in there and be done, rather than just taking the time to explore your body. Because okay, maybe I'm not exploring all of your body, but you are exploring. There's a lot down there to explore with, is also anal play. I mean, that's a whole nother subject, but that's right there. You know, there's toys that you can use for anal play. You could use your finger. There's just so much in that one area, you know, that you can play with. But I just feel like people just go down there and just try to focus on the clit, or try to just focus on, you know, the head and trying to see how deep they can go. And it just a lot. So there's some guys that like it slow. I like it slow, you know, and I also notice that there's some guys that go fast, and you can go slow and you'll notice a guy changing pace, even with a woman. And then, or you're going slow and it's not really working and you go fast and that's what's worked for him. That's why you just got to play around. I just say, go to playground, have fun.
So we said hot and cold. Like, if I'm giving head to someone, how would you kind of like incorporate cold and hot?
Okay, so like I said in the beginning, the guy that I dated, he read something in a magazine about ice cubes. So I put the ice cubes in my mouth and got my mouth cold. And then I went down on him. And it was like this, and I've done it with other people and they love it. It's this, ooh, but then it starts to warm, you know, your mouth starts to warm. And then I have hot water next to the bed and I quickly swish with the hot water and then I go down and it's another sensation because that feels more like a vagina, you know. So it's, they like it. You can also take the ice cube and put it on the balls and just don't, you want to keep it on there very long. It's just it melts very quickly, but just to move it around. There's also hot and cold lubes. Like a fire lube, but when I say fire, it doesn't feel like you're on fire. It's more of a tingly sensation. Mm-hmm. And then, which is also, I believe that they have some on condoms too, where they also do hot and cold, the sensations. And then there's more of a chilled one. So it benefits the female too.
I love that. Then kind of experimenting with it and kind of like having this playful attitude. And I think of knowing that having some kind of feedback if you're doing something novel, that they can kind of, your partner tells you that if it's not working for them. But I think even anticipation, I'm going to do this like new things, use this new gel or use ice cube, can build excitement. So it's
clear. And it doesn't even have to be toys that you buy. People may say, I don't have money. Go in your kitchen, get a little paddle, you know, like the little wooden spoon. There's so many things that you can use and just have fun with, and also incorporate your hands and massage and different techniques. I mean, there's like the basket weave where you do your hands like this and then you kind of go down and you're getting the thumbs right there.
I did not know about that.
Guys love that one, the basket weave. I mean, I'll have a guy say, give me the basket weave.
There's going to be some basket weaving in my future.
Yeah. And then when I was doing my sex coaching, I read so many books on so much. So that's how I learned about the basket weave. Educate yourself. There was one, this clip book, and I've learned so much about males, you know, that I wanted to learn a little bit more about myself. And because you're like, a man has, you know, this appendage that, you know, you can do so much with. Women, it's all tucked away. And, you know, but then you read the book and you're like, oh, wow, there's a lot. So you're clit. And I tried this because I just wanted to experiment. And if you don't know, your clit is like a penis. So if you pull back the hood, you can jack off your clit. And it's amazing. It's literally like you're jacking off a penis. But
isn't it tiny unless you're like a dancer or co-worker?
Yeah. So, I mean, you want to get, I did it in the shower and you kind of got to put your legs up and you got to really press back the hood so it pops out.
Uh-huh.
It's deeper. There's more to it than you see, but you got to pop it out. And then you just jack it off. And I was like, wow, this is what it feels like to have a penis.
I love that.
But there's just, I mean, there's G spots. There's that. There's the legs of, you know, the clit. There's the mounds area. There's toys that cater to vibrating the mound area. I mean, there's so much out there. That's like a whole nother podcast just on the toys.
I love it. And I feel like people get intimidated. I loved it when we had more shops that people were going in person, because usually people who work on sex shops are sex educators. And I feel
just here in LA, that's very much like them. They're amazing. They have all sex educators. They teach classes for free in LA.
I love that.
In Chicago and I think New York. And when you walk in there, they have a plethora of stuff of things that you can see. And some of the things you're like, holy shit. like a fist this big. One fist. And it's fun to go in there and to look, have a laugh, you know, you joke around, but then you see someone picking up and buying it and you're like, that's no joke.
I love that. And I think like, especially like the local ones are really fun and people are there. They're passionate to help others about sexual pleasure. And I love, if you're in LA, try a pleasure chest. Like many colleagues, they teach there for free and it's just such a shame-free space. So Sienna, if people want to learn about you, if they're curious about your content, the coaching that you do, it seems like you're a wealth of great information. What are some of the places they can find you?
I made one website just to make it easy for everyone. It's Sienna Sinclair Stripped.com. It's a play on words because I was a stripper, but I stripped down and tell you all, you know.
I love that. So it's going to be in the show notes. So if people want to, like, you offer coaching and
programs, my blogs, my naughty parties that I host. I also have a studio here in Los Angeles and I do photography. I do anything that's naughty.
I love that. So I recommend our listeners to go check it out. Thank you so much, Sienna, for your time. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show and hopefully we'll have you on our future episodes.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye there. As we wrap up, I want to remind you of this. Confidence in sex doesn't come from knowing everything. It comes from being willing to stay present, curious, and connected. Whether it's oral sex or any other part of intimacy, what creates the biggest shift is not perfection, it's attunement, paying attention, being responsive, letting it be a shared experience rather than a performance. And if you're thinking, I want to feel more confident, but I don't know where to start, that's exactly why we created our $15 workshop. Few of our colleagues and I, we're going to walk you step by step through how to get out of your head into your body, how to do dirty talk, and how to build real practical sexual skills, including things like pacing, connection, and yes, even how to talk about and approach different kinds of pleasure. It's simple, it's actionable, and it can even be a really fun date night. You can find it in the show notes. Thank you for being here, for being open to learning, and for investing in your pleasure. I'll see you in the next episode of the Sexology Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.